Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark.
And Christy.
And we're really excited to have you on another show this evening. As you know, we're on once a month. And, of course, this is the Divine Practice Radio Show with Christy and Mark. We're generally on the third Thursday of every month, but in honor of our guest this evening, we moved the show to Wednesday. It's actually in. It's kind of also for me also because this month I'm in sailing class. I'm learning to sail a J-22 sailboat, so I have a sailing class on Thursday. So this month we're doing the show on Wednesday, and starting next month we're back to our regular slot of the third Thursday every month. As always, to find out more about the show and to find out more about our friend Jerry and his website and everything, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And you can also check out his website. His link is up there. His name is Jerry Gavin. He's going to be talking more about the work he does this evening and all his different projects and all the exciting stuff. You can catch him on Hay House Radio. And you can check out his website at jerrygavin.com. That's GerryGavin.com. And check out his new book launch page. We'll get more into that during the show about his second book that's out. Actually, there's more books than that, but we'll be talking about one of his main books. And I've been reading most of it over the last 2 days. It's one of those books that once you get started on it, you know, basically, unless something's on fire, you generally don't put it down. So I've been on a readathon, which is funny because I normally don't work with paper anymore. I'm so electronic. So it's kind of fun to have his book in my hands. But you can actually check out his book. He's got the Kindle versions and everything that's out there. And we're going to be taking callers this evening. Jerry will be talking a little bit about what he's going to be doing for people who call in. But the short of it is you'll actually be able to ask questions and have an angel actually answer them. And I don't know of anybody else that's able to do that. So,
and the more specific the question, the better.
Yeah, exactly. So you can call in to 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And I'm going to go ahead and just push out this link to all the different locations, and we'll get that out to everybody that's out to Twitter, Facebook, and Blog Talk. And with that, Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Christy, very much for having me on the show. I'm really, really excited about tonight.
So, you know, for people who aren't familiar, we've had you on the show a few times over the last 3 to 5 years. So, you know, a lot of people who follow the show probably remember. But for the newbies that are here that are joining this evening with this beautiful energy, why don't you go ahead and tell us how you got started and what exactly, you know, who is Margaret and what exactly are you going to be doing on the air this evening with callers?
So Margaret is an angel that I have been channeling messages from for I guess the last almost 25 years at this point, or a little over 25 years. The process of speaking to Margaret was kind of just a really interesting thing. I want to just sort of give everybody the Reader's Digest version, because that whole story is just a story in itself. But I was very, very much a very skeptical person of everything that had to do with ghosts, and I did believe in angels, but my concept was that people really didn't experience paranormal activity to the extent that, you know, I heard that they did. And I was a doubter about a lot of different things, and then wound up having the experience of living in an extremely haunted house. And that, boy, if there's anything that makes you a quick believer, that is the thing to do. So that gave me the opportunity to really be exposed to the fact that there was a lot of other things that were out there that I did not understand. And in this was back in the early 90s, so there weren't the shows that are like on TV right now. There wasn't Ghost Hunters. There wasn't all these different things where people were talking about what was going on in that sort of situation. So we really relied on getting information about what to do from people who were more in the area of the psychic community. And a very good friend of mine, who was pretty much the only person I trusted to tell about this particular situation, said to me, you know, you really should talk to my my therapist. And I was like, no, I'm really not crazy. It's really happening. And he said, no, the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, my friend, I have to preface it by saying my friend had been in therapy most of his life, from his
early
teenage. Yeah, I still am. I'm right here with you.
Okay, there you kind of blocked out there for a second.
I think the haunting's coming back.
So I was just saying, my friend had been in therapy most of his life. So what was saying to me, and why he said this, was that his therapist, who was a regular PhD counselor, also happened to be a very gifted psychic. So whenever he tried to dance around things in his therapy, whenever it got to those really uncomfortable places that he didn't want to talk about, she would just kind of jump in and say, so who's so-and-so, and what's this about, and what's that about? And so he had no way to avoid it, and he said, it's been crazy, Jer. I'm like breathing through therapy. It's the best experience. So I called this woman, wonderful woman by the name of Brenda Morgan, who now actually runs retreat centers and does some amazing work. And she channeled, which was the first time I had the opportunity to hear of that terminology, channeled a message that was a clearing ceremony for the house that would allow us to try to bring those spirits that were in the house into the light and to allow us to peacefully either coexist with them or move forward in helping them to move from the house. But at either rate, it turned out finally to be successful after actually kind of being like something out of the movies in terms of, you know, dresser drawers opening and closing and doors opening and closing and crazy stuff I would never believe could happen if I didn't have a chance to experience it. And the end object, the end result of it is when everything was done, somehow there was this shift in energy that happened to me. I seemed to be open now to so many different things, and there was so much that was going on. And apparently what caused that was the fact that she had asked me to make sure in every room we were in that I was standing at the northernmost point, which after everything was done, she explained to me was the place that all of this energy was going to leave, that it technically was leaving through me. And part of the reason that I was the person doing that was she said, number one, I had at that point in time the strongest countenance to be able to deal with it, but even more importantly, there would be a time in the future that I would need to recognize this energy because I would probably be working with it again. And I laughed hysterically and said, no way, I am never doing anything that has to do with the spiritual world again. I'm done. Oh. I'm ready to be out of here. And, you know, little did I know that the time would go on and I would just keep having more and more paranormal experiences, many of which just were so out of my control, you know. And and at that time I had started to go to massage school, and the woman who taught the massage school that I was at was a wonderful massage therapist and trained at the Swedish Institute, but it also turned out that she had studied with Latin American shamans and had wound up watching a lot of what was going on with me and began to share some information about what she knew with me, and that started to bring things out even more so. And she finally got me to stop fighting it, which I was doing. I mean, tooth and nail, I was fighting this. And as I stopped fighting it, now I started getting more involved in the area of shamanism and journeying and eventually soul retrieval and work of that nature. And I had not spoken to angels, although now I was conversing with spirit guides and power animals and doing things that I just never, ever would have imagined I was going to do. If 3 short years before that you had told me, Jerry, you're going to be doing these things, I would have said, you're nuts. There's no way I would ever be doing that. But here I was, the actual first conversation with Margaret took place because I was just going through a really tough period in my own life. And I sat down one night and said, I know if I could get your name, I would find a way to talk to you, you know? And for some reason, I felt at that point in time I needed this angelic connection. I just needed that type of energy. The spirit guides, it just wasn't cutting it. There was something missing from the connection that I needed. And what happened is I closed my eyes. I don't think I was really expecting an answer in quite the way I got it. But what wound up happening is before my eyes, it was like I was looking at a white movie screen, and in bold black letters, like a newspaper headline, it just spelled out the name Margaret. And I thought, Margaret? What kind of angel name is Margaret? That's like I was waiting for Ezekiel or something that would have trumpets in the background. But Margaret just seemed so like, you know, your grandmother's aunt or something, you know. It just didn't seem like the name I was expecting. And that name just kept coming up over and over and over in every possible font and size you could think of. So, you know, I finally acquiesced to the fact that, okay, the name is Margaret. And the thing that popped into my head at that point to try to communicate with her was a method called automatic writing, which I'm sure you guys and a lot of the folks in the audience might be familiar with. But essentially what is to write a letter to this, you know, spirit, to this angel, whomever it might be, asking about whatever questions you have, whatever guidance you're looking for, and then you start a letter back to yourself, you know, dear Jerry, however you might want to write that, and then just let it flow and see how that answer is going to fly. And I did that, and honestly, Mark, Christy, at that point in time, of all of the things that I had done, I felt like this was the dumbest thing I had ever done. Because I was writing the letter, I'm writing the letter back to myself, you know, how not partisan is this going to be, you know? And I'm writing about these, you know, emotional situations and relationship struggles, and there's a lot of venom in my letter that I'm writing, you know? And the letter, I start the letter back, and the letter begins with, hello, dear one, and welcome. And it's certainly not the way I normally start a letter. So that in itself was just very unusual, you know? And then it was as though my hand was just going by itself, writing so incredibly fast that I could barely, in some instances, make out what I was writing. But clearly I'm reading it as I'm writing it. And what I received was this information that essentially explained to me how everything that was going on in my life I had essentially created, and where I had responsibility for those things, and what essentially I could do to try to help the energy around it, you know, so that my life could be better and happier, and explaining some of the things that other people in my life were going through. So being that I always kind of come from this little bit of a scientific side, I love when I can come up with logical things that make sense. So I decided, all right, let me test this out. And I spoke to some of the people who I was going through some relationship conflicts with at that time and said, you know, I'm kind of curious. I've been thinking about it, and I was wondering, by any chance, could you be feeling this way? And in every instance, people were like, yeah, exactly. You know, and they're complimenting me for being so insightful and really thinking about it. And what am I going to say? I can't say, well, actually, my pen pal, who happens to be an angel, told me about this. Mm-hmm. So I took full credit for it and proceeded to know that, oh, my gosh, this is legitimate. These are legitimate there is information that's coming here, and it's kind, and it's gentle, and it's non-judgmental, and it has an incredible amount of wisdom. Funny thing about that comment about her information being kind and intelligent and having so much wisdom. My brother George, he and I have been so close all of our lives, and so when I started channeling Margaret and I finally started talking to people about it, I did let him know what was going on, and I told him, and then I had done some letters for him, because that was the way I initially began doing everything, by writing letters. And as I got to know that it was working, I started to be a little more open to tell people about it who would ask me, you know, to write letters for them. And George was always a believer in what was happening with Margaret. But when I wrote the first book, when I wrote Messages for Margaret, George had a chance to read it, and he called me up after he read it, and I was really curious what he was going to think. And he said, my brother always calls me Gerard. He's the only person in the world who calls me Gerard. I'm not really fond of the name, but George gets on the phone and he says, Gerard, I have to tell you something, and I hope you won't take this the wrong way, but I read the book, and I realized after I read it that you are truly, truly channeling an angel, because I have to be honest, you're just not this smart. And I know he did not mean that in any offensive way. He was just legitimately just saying, I know you don't have all of these different levels of knowledge. I know she answers questions that's outside of the realm. And my immediate response was to say, I know, right? There's no way I know a lot of this stuff. There's no possible understanding that kind of falls into that. And that process has kind of been what started. So it started at just writing letters, and eventually my same friend who had told me about the psychic psychotherapist referred me to, he after that experience of getting that type of level of psychic knowledge, he became very open to psychics and was seeing a couple of different psychics for his own spiritual guidance. And I didn't know what to do with this, so he suggested to go see two of these healer psychics, one that he really, really loved, because hopefully she could guide me as to what to do with it and how to, you know, take it to the world. And I went there with full intent to ask her tons of questions, and our conversation began by her saying, I'm so glad you're here. I have so many questions for Margaret. And began to tell me all about her personal life. And I'm trying to explain to her, look, I'm not the psychic. You're the psychic. I came here to see you. And she said, well, please, before we talk, could you do a letter? And I did the letter for her that turned out perfectly. She wound up calling a friend of hers who was also a psychic, who called a third person. And after those three readings took place, what wound up happening was they began referring people to me, that they really felt could use that element of guidance that Margaret was offering, that they kind of felt was outside of the realm of what they were doing. And that's how this all began. And for close to 20 years, I guess 18 years or 17 years, I was doing this with a growing number of people who were coming to get these letters from Margaret, but I was keeping it very separate from the other part of my life. And in the other part of my life, I was in the corporate world. I was in publishing. I had worked my way up to being the publisher of the largest community newspaper group in New York City. So wow. I had a lot to lose if people started realizing that I thought I was talking to angels. You know, I didn't necessarily know how the owners of the newspaper would respond to that if I really, really wanted to take it to the next level, you know. And something happened. I don't know what it is. To this day, I don't know what happened. But one day in 2010, I can remember sitting at my desk and just stopping what I was doing that day and saying to Margaret, I can't do this anymore. Whatever you need, whatever you want me to do, please, just tell me. I will do it. Just tell me. And I can't do this anymore. I know I can't do this anymore. I have to do this work with you. You know, we got to figure this out. And it was so amazing because seconds after that phone conversation took place, a woman who was a publicist who was working on a film called 2012, Time for a Change, which was all about the Mayan prophecies and things of that nature, called me up to see if we would be involved, if my newspaper group would help to promote the movie, which was having a screening in New York, and if someone from my newspaper group could be on the panel. And I said, yes, we would do it. I was fascinated by the movie. I went to my editor to ask my editor to please be on the panel, and he laughed about it and said, Jerry, this is totally your wheelhouse. You're into all the weird stuff. You go ahead, and you be on the panel. And I was. And that night, in front of a packed movie house at that premiere, I introduced myself as the publisher of the New York Press, which was one of the newspapers in our group, and also at that point said, I am also a shamanic practitioner and an angelic channel. And that was the first time I had publicly stated that type of thing. And it
wow.
felt like something electric went through my body when I said it. And the very next day, Margaret said, there is a book that I would like you to write on my behalf of messages that I would really like to get out to the world. Could you begin writing it? And I began writing everything she was asking me to say on bus rides back and forth to the city for just about a year. And that book turned out to be Messages from Margaret. And Mark, I remember so well, like it was yesterday, I self-published that book and met Mark at a Body, Mind, Spirit expo where you were kind enough to come up and talk to me. And at that point in time, I just felt like such a poser. I mean, I felt so silly because I'm trying to promote this book that I've just written, and I'm so nervous about what I'm saying and how I'm trying to explain it and hoping that I'm doing it in the right way, you know. And that was our first opportunity, Mark, to meet. And oddly enough, directly catty-corner from my booth was people who were working for two other authors, who Ariel and Chaya Keen, who write relationship books and do a lot of wonderful relationship counseling type of things. And I had known of them. I had read their books. So I was kind of in awe of them because I thought, wow, they're the real deal. You know, they're really cool people, and I love their books. So the woman who was manning their booth that night picked up a copy of Messages from Margaret because she just kept looking at the book and being drawn to it, read it that Friday night. It kept her up all night. She wound up introducing me to Ariel and Shia. I gave them a copy of the book. Felt like a total silly person citing the book and acting like I'm some kind of author, you know, and gave them a copy of the book. Gave them a copy of the book. And about 2 weeks later, Ariel called me and she said, you know what, I want to talk to you because we have an internet radio program, much as yours is on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a pretty good following, and we would love you to be on the radio program. And I did this program called Being Here, which is about being in the moment. And it was totally being in the moment. What happened is we talked about the book for, felt like 5 seconds, you know, and everything else was callers who called in to talk about being in the moment. And they would turn back to me to say at times, so what do you think Margaret would say about this, or what would you think Margaret would say about that? Because at that time, I wasn't channeling Margaret live. And so I answered the questions the best that I could and came out of the program not really thinking that anything would come of it that would really help the book because it had just been so unusual. But at the same time, I really enjoyed it, and I felt like the rapport with people had gone well, and they had asked some wonderful questions. And little did I know that one of the people who happened to hear that program, who also is a fan of Ariel and Shia, was the woman who is in charge of international book rights for Hay House out of London. And she heard the program and was fascinated by the conversation and got a hold of the book. And as things never worked in the book industry, made a phone call directly to Lee Tracy, the head of Hay House, and said, "I love this book. I know this book will be something that will be embraced in Europe. If you like it and want it and reread it and liked it." And the next thing I know, I was getting an email from Reed Tracy saying Hay House would like to take over the publication of this book. And that was 4 months after that Body, Mind, Spirit Expo where I met you, Mark. You know, so the miracle is that transpired over that period of time of that, I guess, that declaration of saying, "I'm here, I'm present, I will do this. Just guide me. Just show me what it is that you need me to do." And that gave birth to that first book. It wound up being printed in 7 different languages. And now the second book, which is called If You Could Talk to an Angel, was kind of a very fascinating incarnation too, because we were talking about the second book for Hay House being something more about a combination of shamanism and angelic work. And what wound up happening is it just wasn't working. It wasn't happening. I couldn't even put together a decent proposal for it. And I asked Margaret, "Why is this? Why do I seem to have such a block about this book?" And she said, it's really simple, because you're not supposed to write this book. It's not the book you have inside you, and it's not the best next book, you know?" And I said, "Well, what is the best next book?" And she said, I definitely would love to talk about it, but would you do me a favor? Would you, I'm going to write a letter, and I would love if I'm going to write this letter to Reed Tracy, and if you would be so kind, would you ask Reed if he would take a gander at it?" And what it was a proposal for a book called If You Could Talk to an Angel, with the basic concept being, if you had the ability to sit down in your living room and an angel sat down across the table from you or at the couch across from you or in your kitchen across the table, and you had the chance to ask that angel any question that you would most like to ask, whatever is your most burning question in life, what would you ask? And it was a beautiful concept. And she said, "What I would like to do then, Jerry, is since you're doing this Hay House radio program, is to open it up to the people who listen to the program and ask them to submit questions." And so that was the proposal that I gave to Reed, to say, "Hey, Margaret said, would you take a look at this?" And thank God Reed Tracy is the kind of person that's open to that stuff, because I think any other publishing company in the world, you would just be like, "Yeah, okay." Reed looked at it, and I'm kind of waiting for his reaction. He was like, "I love it. I love this idea. I love the title, If You Could Talk to an Angel. I love it." And he goes, "But I'd like to take it just one step further. And what I want you to do is I want you to do just what you said, reach out to the Hay House audience, get all the questions that you can. But I'd like to take it a step further, and I'd like to reach out to the other Hay House authors and see if other Hay House authors would be interested to be a part of the book, and if they would like to ask questions of Margaret." And I thought, wow, that's an amazing idea. I didn't know if they would want to, you know, but I figured, you know, it's certainly worth a try. And what amazed me is that there were 20 authors that wound up participating in the book. And these are people like Anita Morjani and David G and Colette Baron Reed, John Holland, who is like, I just idolize John Holland. He's one of the best psychic mediums I have ever seen in my life. Chris Carr, Megan Waterson, Mike Dooley, Melissa Schultz, Nick Ortner, these people who are like best-selling, you know, New York Times best-selling authors, and here they were coming into this book and asking questions of Margaret. And what amazed me about it is that, you know, you sort of have your preconceived notions, as I guess everybody always does, and I know I always do. So what I thought was that the people from around the world who were going to ask questions were going to ask very personal questions that had to do with their personal lives, and not the big questions, you know, not necessarily those big life-changing worldwide questions. And I figured that's what the Hay House authors are going to ask, because these are the body, mind, spirit gurus. You know, they're going to ask the big questions, you know. It was exactly the opposite. It was exactly the opposite. The Hay House authors asked these deeply personal questions. And I was shocked by that. I know. Christy, I felt that same way. You're just like, I felt that same
yeah, right?
way. I felt so humbled by that and so honored that they kind of opened themselves up that way. I mean, Chris Carr asked questions about her. You know, she's so into animal rescue, and I mean, she's one of the best known people for helping to change people's diets and cure cancer and the things that she does. And I thought she was going to ask something about that, and she was asking about how she could create a better relationship with her hound dog who was like her child, that it's just going to break her heart when this dog goes. And, you know, personal questions like that. Mike Dooley, who wrote this amazing book about, you know, the five questions that the five top regrets of the dying, and here Mike is asking about, you know, I know that we choose our parents, and I know that we choose the situation we come in, and I really want to understand that better with my new son that I just have. How does that connection work? You know, those kind of deeply personal questions and their personal stories about their own angelic experiences. Sonia Chiquette asked a question. Sonia lives in Paris, and she asked a question. This book came out before the tragedy that happened in Paris and before Nice, and her question had to do with that. How do we align ourselves? How do we find a way to change our energy so that we can change world energy, so that we may not be finding things? And how do we stay centered in the face of things that are going on in the world like that? So these are these amazing, amazing questions. And Mark, you and I had just a brief chance to talk the other day, and I was so honored because you were talking about how Margaret's answers to those questions, they were just amazing. For me, it's such a unique thing, because when I'm writing a book, when I'm channeling Margaret, or I'm doing a personal reading for someone, I'm hearing that information firsthand at the same time as I'm saying that information, you know? So as I'm saying things, there's so many times that as I'm hearing myself say it, I'm like, oh, man, I love this. I've got to remember this. This is like, I got to apply this to my life, you know? This is so good. And as I was writing the book, I mean, poor Gail, my girlfriend, I cannot tell you the number of times, because I tended to write primarily late at night, how many times I would run upstairs and wake her up with, you're just going to believe what Margaret said now. I got to tell you about this, you know? Because the information is just so incredible. It is just so moving. And it's the kind of stuff that, as you read it, it's as though there's a part of you that just connects to it and says, I remember now. I remember. Now I remember. Now I remember this is how it works. Now I remember that that's the true essence of my soul. Now I remember what happens when we cross over. Now I remember why I have this conflict between my brain and my consciousness here. All these different things just are like illuminating that they make you recall. So it's been a pretty cool journey.
And with that, let's go ahead and give out the phone number so people can call in and talk to Margaret this evening. And the phone number is 646-716-9663. And of course, that phone number is up on your display screen. When you're listening to the show, it'll be right there. And you can just call in, and we'll put you on with Margaret so you can ask your questions.
Making sure that the more specific the question, the more you'll get out of the answer, I'm guessing, right?
Thank you for that. I keep on forgetting
Margaret,
that little
detail. Margaret doesn't predict, and that's one of the things I think people are very used to when they're doing psychic readings in that sense. And what's so different from this is that what Margaret says is basically we are creating our lives. So we're creating our future with every decision we make at every moment we make it. So it's kind of, for an angel, an irresponsible thing to predict a future you haven't created yet, you know. So what she wants to do is to help to give you the information that will empower you to create the future that you most want to create, the one that would be the most joyful for you.
And, you know, I think, and, you know, kind of going back and thinking about the book, you know, like, you know, the one that we were just talking about, you know, one of the things, like you said, it was really beautiful to see all these key, not only that individuals from around the world who listened to your Hay House radio show were asking questions, but that these key authors from Hay House had also, you know, asked questions.
And joined in. Yeah.
I think what was so powerful about that is, as I went through and I read the questions, as much as they were very personal questions for each of those individuals, you know, and I get a little bit of a kick out of it. I've actually studied with a lot of them personally. I've actually studied under their programs and read their material and you know, I was getting such a kick out of watching their questions. But I think the thing that I noticed through this is that as much as I've studied, you know, so many modalities, so much spirituality, that I've studied under so many different leaders around the world, as far as spiritual people, the questions I was seeing were some of the top questions that I've always had that no one's ever been able to answer. And it was just so beautiful to see those come through in the book.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's good to hear. That is really, it's so exciting to hear because those questions.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I can't tell you, when we were picking questions, there were close to 1,000 questions that were submitted from people all over the world. And with Margaret's help, she and I narrowed that down to 33 that she felt were representative of what you're saying, Mark, those most pressing questions. So that's great to hear you say that. I'm really, really happy to hear you say that.
And Jerry, speaking of questions, I think we do have a caller. And because of the way we have our system set up, we're not able to actually screen callers, but we do have a number up, last four digits, 6267. So,
when you're ready, Jerry, to bring Margaret through, we'll go ahead and bring this caller on to ask their question.
That would be great. That would be great. Hold on just one second, guys. I'm just going to take a quick sip of water and get a little centered, and I will bring her right through.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and bring the caller on and get their name. We're so sorry that we have to introduce you as 6267.
Hello, dear ones, and welcome. It is so good to be here with you today. Thank you so much, Mark and Christy, for having us on the program. And I'm so excited to speak to you as well as to speak to your callers. So please, whatever questions you might have or whatever questions your callers might have, I am more than ready to answer them. So let us begin.
Hi, my name is Irma. How are you? It's nice to speak to you.
It is nice to speak to you as well. How can I help you tonight?
I'm kind of stuck right now. I am thinking about moving out to California, and I didn't know if that was a good thing for me to do or if this is the right time.
What, dear one, is the reason that you are thinking of making this move?
I want to be, I don't know, I've always been drawn to California since I was little. But I've never been there. And I'm thinking about visiting out there just to get a feel for it. But I don't know. I want to be more around people that have my same ideology. I live in Texas. And mm-hmm. so I want to get into the holistic field. And I know that's kind of a mecca over there.
Well, it is true that in certain parts of California, there is more of a community of holistic people that you would be able to find. But in truth, dear one of the reasons that you may not feel that there is a mecca of people by you is because so many times people who are more spiritually inclined are less inclined to talk about it when they think that they are in an environment where they might be ridiculed for it. And I can tell you, dear one, that there are lots and lots and lots of people in Texas who are very spiritual people who just are afraid to talk about it because they don't know that their neighbor right next door to them feels similarly in that particular type of situation. So I would tell you this. I would go first to California and see different places that might help you to feel more inclined. I think some of the areas that you might be more inclined to visit than would be areas like San Diego. You would also find similar feelings if you were going to Austin within your own state or going to Denver. Go ahead, Jiren.
I'm sorry. Yes, I thought about Austin also. Yes.
And so there's different places that you'll find a like-minded spiritual community or a more open community. Generally, what tends to happen is the more artistically inclined a community is, the more you are going to find that that community is equally open to other attitudes of spirituality. Because in that community, people are already embracing the more creative, open-minded side of things. I want to ask you a favor as well, and something that I think would help you. Would you please email Jerry? You could send him an email at jerry@jerrygavin, jerrygavin.com. And ask him if he could please send you, just tell him we spoke on the radio tonight and he will remember you when he then sees it. Ask him if he would send you the grounding exercise. And there's an exercise we do that's part of the Angels and Shamans workshop that helps people to learn to communicate with their angels. And this particular exercise allows you to get really grounded with the earth. Because, dear one, here's the situation. When you are grounded with the earth, when you really feel strongly grounded, what winds up happening is you find yourself then being drawn towards whatever like energy there is within the closest proximity to you, and you feel this sense of oneness. So whether you were to go to California or Colorado or Austin within your own state or New York City, you will find people who are like you. It's an interesting thing. There was a national poll done a few years back of people asking people if they believed in angels. This was a very traditional poll. It was done by the Gallup people. And what was found is that almost 80% of the people who were surveyed from all over the country believed in the existence of angels. Almost 50% of those people said that they had encountered some type of personal angelic experience. Now, those are some very large numbers. So clearly there's a lot of people around you who are like-minded individuals. And sometimes when you start the conversation off with angels, you're going to find that there are a lot of people who are going to open up to those things, open the doorway to bigger conversations. Do the grounding exercise, and then do find wherever is that place that makes you feel like you are vibrating from the best place with it. You know, visit Austin, visit San Diego, visit Denver, visit Minneapolis, St. Paul, visit New York. It's a great reason to travel anyway. When you're just trying to find that place that vibrates so well with you. We haven't even talked about Arizona or New Mexico, which are also
I've heard about Arizona.
Right. So you have Sedona and you have other locations as well. There are always those places that are, as you said so perfectly, meccas for spiritual activity and that have a very special vibration that's taking place. But one of the really important things, dear one, is that what is really needed to happen for this world to change is for people like yourself to grow their vibration in the places where there isn't already like-minded thinking, so that you can attract to you more people and start to kind of be the change in the place where you are. So that's what happens so often, is that people wind up going off and building their vibration and then coming back for one other reason or another. There are so many people that go to California or go to other places, but then because of something that happens in their family, they wind up coming back home and they start to grow the vibration within that home place. That's what happened in places like the West Village in New York City. That's what happened in places like Austin, in places like Philadelphia, in all these different cities that have small pockets of very, very powerful energy. And I think, dear one, that you are going to find that as you do more to explore your deeper sense of knowing you, and the more you increase your vibration of joy, you're going to just notice people gravitating to you. Stay with that, dear one, okay? Because you got a lot to offer, all right?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Irma. And I think we've got another caller.
I don't see, usually we have a question mark when there's a question, but we'll put them on the air temporarily, see if they actually want to ask a question. If you just dialed in, we have caller 3473, and we have Jerry channeling an angel called Margaret who's answering questions. And what's the way we're telling people they should ask very detailed questions that are very specific?
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and bring on this caller. 3473, do you have a question for Angel Margaret?
Yes. Actually, I do. I just tuned in, so I was unaware of the website. My question is, I'm feeling very, very stuck, and I don't know how to get moving forward. I've been led into CAC and moving and meeting with my twin flame, and I've had awakenings. I have moved, elevated spiritually a lot in the last year, and I just don't know where to go from here. Any suggestions or?
May I just ask your name first?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My name is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. I just hated referring to you by 4297 or something like that. It is so much nicer to have your name, Stacy. So, in the things that you've done, you know, you have done a tremendous amount I hate to refer to it as work on yourself, because what you've done is try to elevate your energy. So when you're trying to elevate your energy, the true thing that you're trying to do is lead a more joyful life, you know, to move yourself into that area where you can feel the most joy, because that's what you are here for as a soul. Often people will ask that question of, what is my purpose? What is my path? What do I want to do? And you have a couple of major things within your purpose. One is that you come here to grow the energy of your soul, but the other is that you come here to live a life that is filled with as much joy as you can possibly find, as many different things as you might be able to encounter. One of the things, Stacey, that happens for you is that sometimes you may notice that while you are doing all of these things that you're trying to do to move you forward, that you'll hit these, for want of a better word, I guess I'm going to call them plateaus, you know, where you'll move to a certain point and then you kind of get stuck, and then something tends to happen and then you move to that next plateau and you get stuck, you know. And what's happening when that occurs is that there are two sides to your energetic being. There is your soul or your consciousness, that is the part of your higher self that is, your higher self, by the way, your soul, Stacey, is enormous. It is so much bigger than you ever might imagine it to be. And this part of your soul that is Stacey in this lifetime is just a portion of that energy that has been invested in this being. So your consciousness, which is a part of that soul, is the energy of pure love and expansion and desire to be everything you might be and experience. And that is just so much trying to make things bigger. Your brain, on the other hand, whose entire job is to keep your body alive and make sure that your soul has a place to exist within, because you've decided to come into this in this physical incarnation, your brain more speaks from the place of fear. And it does that because your brain actually desires to keep you safe. It is always trying to protect you. So when you have certain experiences in your life and you're trying to move to another level of your soul's growth, what your brain kind of does, it's almost a funny conversation. It's almost as though your brain is saying to you, wait a minute, Stacey, are you sure you want to do this? Because remember when you did this and it kind of really hurt you and you went through this kind of pain? And remember when you tried to expand and do this and you had to go through this kind of pain? I don't want you to have to go through that pain, because when you do, sometimes you lose some of your soul energy. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to use my two best tools in my brain arsenal. I'm going to try to use distraction and rationalization. And what happens is that in distraction, it's going to try to get you to think of a whole bunch of different things that maybe you want to expand your energy into. So there's a lot of choices and you're not sure which one to go towards. And rationalization is going to be, oh, man, I don't even know why I'm trying, because I keep trying so hard and I never feel like I get there. And if I can try to get those two mental tools up there working with you, maybe it might keep you away from things so that you don't wind up going into a new area where you might get hurt or disappointed or feel rejected or those kinds of very real feelings. So your brain and its desire to protect you is actually trying to keep you from doing things. Now, there's two things I want to suggest to you, and they're very practical considerations. I'm going to ask you also, Stacey, if you would be kind enough to write Jerry at jerrygavin.com, G-E-R-R-Y at G-E-R-R-Y-G-A-V-I-N.com, and ask Jerry, Stacey, if he would send you the exercises. Just call them the exercises. and some information about soul retrieval. The exercises are three exercises. The one is the grounding exercise we were just talking about, and then there are two tapping exercises. And Jerry does a thing called shamanic tapping, which is tapping, guided tapping, with drumming in the background so that it actually distracts your brain and sends your brain to a higher elevation of consciousness, so it gets out of the way and lets you do some things that can help to expand your consciousness. And these tapping exercises are about returning other people's soul energy that you are holding on to within your body and within your energetic system. Because there's a lot of old belief systems, a lot of old voices, a lot of people that you were trying to please, so you took on their energy in order to be able to please them. And all of this is sitting inside of you in the form of cellular memory. So that exercise helps you to release it. And then there's another tapping exercise that helps you to call back some soul energy that is in your energetic field, but not in your physical field. So these are things that would really help you. And the other thing is an affirmation. And an affirmation is a question that you are asking rather than the statement that you're making. And this question is, why is it so easy for my brain to help me when I'm trying to expand my soul's energy? Why is it so easy for my brain to help me when I'm trying to expand my soul's energy? Because that gives your brain direction. Whenever you ask a question, you're telling your brain to search for something, like a Google search that says, go back and find every successful thing that ever happened when my soul's energy was expanding. So now it has to search for other things besides the things it's bringing to your consciousness to distract and to rationalize. And Stacey, if you can do those things, I think you will find that your energy starts to move past this block that you're currently working with. All right?
Wow. Yeah, could you just repeat that website one more time?
Sure. The email address is Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, at jerrygavin.com.
Okay, awesome.
Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Good luck, Jerry.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Mark and Christy, before we leave, is there anything that either of you wanted to talk about? I don't know how much time we actually have left, but I would love to have a moment to speak to you.
Mm-hmm. I would love the opportunity. I guess my question is how to best help my physical form, my body, as far as like my thyroid and adrenals and endocrine system, and how that maybe relates to my creativity and desire to write my own books or creative projects. I feel kind of stuck. It seems like the two go hand in hand, and I'm just trying my best to nourish my physical form.
And that's a wonderful question. And the physical form, Christy, actually, it goes so much into what we were just talking about with Stacey, which is that your brain, over time, as you're going through different experiences in its desire to preserve this physical form, actually does things that can tend to harm it, because it stores so much cellular memory in so many different places. And it actually breaks up the cells of that memory, so it sends some of the cognitive memory to some parts of your body and some of the emotional parts of that memory to other parts of the body, which causes a split in the structure. And very often, that need to try to repress that information, which really is information that isn't going to cause you harm, if it's able to come out in the ways you're trying to do it, it winds up causing the brain to constantly be functioning in the fight or flight stress process, which means that it is constantly working the adrenal gland, it's constantly working the thyroid, it's constantly working other organs, And what winds up happening is that all of that winds up causing adrenal fatigue. It can then go into chronic fatigue syndrome. It can affect your creativity, because when you're trying to be creative, you're going into your soul. And as you're going into your soul, your brain doesn't want to give up that control, because it's afraid that deeper you go into your soul, the more your soul is going to desire to release these things that are blocking you from fully representing you, fully being you. So I would ask you, dear one, the same as what Stacy and I just spoke. I would love to be able to have Jerry send you the exercises and talk a little bit more with you about how you can release a lot of this cellular memory that is within your body. And you're also working so much to do this. But what sometimes people don't realize is how powerful the brain is in finding ways to allow you to think something is working when it's still keeping something secret from you. It's a very devious little thing, but it's a very wonderful thing, because it believes it's doing everything it possibly can to protect you, you know? Mm-hmm. So the key is getting your brain to work with you. And that affirmation that we just spoke of and others are wonderful for talking to your brain and asking it questions, giving it logical commands that it has to follow to work with you on your side, to release information that you no longer need to hold on to.
It's 100%. It's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Hey, Margaret, can you go ahead and give us an example of one of those beautiful questions that she could use to start to move some of her energy and to let go of some of that cellular memory?
So one of those questions might be a broad-based one, which is a statement that I recommend that people do every morning upon waking, which is, why is it so easy for today to be the most wonderful day of my life? Why is it so easy for today to be the most wonderful day of my life? It seems like such a simplistic concept, but when you are sending that message to your brain, now your brain says, well, yeah, I'll agree with that statement. I will fight that statement. It would be wonderful for today to be the most wonderful day of your life. But what it starts your brain to do is to search for other days that were wonderful days, memory of other days that were wonderful to come to the surface, which it will allow to come up because those won't cause harm. Or even if the memories don't come up, you are energetic beings, and every memory is energetic. So the energy of that comes up and raises your vibration. Many times when you just say that statement, if you just say that statement out loud, you'll feel your energy rise. You'll feel something happen to you where you go like, oh, my God, what happened there? That's just such a powerful statement. And equally powerful is, why is it so easy for my brain and my soul to work in unison? Why is it so easy for my brain to realize that protecting me is not always in my best interest? Why is it so easy for my brain to realize how much I appreciate everything that it's done? These are the types of things that when you're seeing it, you are acknowledging the love, basically, that your brain is showing you, which is kind of an amazing thing, because when you think that your brain's major function is fear, that is why the things that come to your mind and come to the forefront of your mind primarily are fear-based concepts. You know, you always remember danger because that's what your brain wants you to remember, because that's how you survive. You don't remember the wonderful things that happen. You remember the dangerous things, which is why news programs spend 98% of the time talking about terrible things and 2% of the time talking about nice things, because that is what the brain wants to know about. It wants to know about what are the terrible things I have to be careful of so that I can wind up staying safe. So if you change the environment for your brain and you start to ask your brain to work with you and you speak to your brain out loud, and out loud is so important. It's so important to speak out loud to your brain and say to your brain, why is it so easy for you to help me today to think about things that are going to bring me amazing joy? Mm-hmm. Those are statements that get your brain to, as I said, Google search, if you will, for all of those things that will bring that information to the surface. Because when you're already saying affirmations, you're already saying things like, why is it so hard for me to do this? With all the work that I've done, why do I not feel joyful? You know, that's kind of what Stacy was saying. With all of this positive work I've been doing, why am I stuck? Well, as soon as you say that, your brain's going to call all of that energy to the surface that shows you all the experiences you've ever had that should make you be stuck. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're saying, why is it so easy for my brain to help me to get unstuck? These are simple phrases. If you work with the key phrase, why is it so easy? And anything you feel stuck about, anything you're struggling with, you then weave in that situation. Why is it so easy for my adrenals to relax? Why is it so easy for my body to assimilate my food? And if you feel resistance with saying that statement, then say the kind of introductory, I kind of call it the gateway phrase, which is, wouldn't it be wonderful if my body assimilated food easily? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I wanted to eat carrots instead of cookies? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could adopt a fully green diet? You know? These are the things that when you start with that phrase, now your brain, again, it's not resisting that phrase. Because how can your brain resist the phrase, wouldn't it be wonderful if? Your brain can't fight with that phrase. It's going to say, yeah, that would be pretty wonderful, you know? And so it begins to help you. It begins to work with you. And then when wouldn't it be wonderful if starts to get comfortable, then you can change it to, why is it so easy? And now your brain, after having come wouldn't it be wonderful if, now starts to be comfortable with the phrase, why is it so easy? And it begins to create the energy of ease and effortlessness around that particular issue. And that's kind of how you move in that direction.
Well, thank you, Margaret. And thank you for answering questions. And we've reached the end of the show. And let's say thank you for all the wonderful work that you do in bringing your message to the planet through our friend Jerry.
Yes, thank you so, so much.
Oh, you are so, so welcome. And thank you both so much tonight for having us be here so we could answer more questions and share more information. We are most grateful to you and the work that you are doing as well.
Thank you, Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just give a second for Jerry to come back. And you've been listening to Jerry Gavin channeling an angel called Margaret. And you can find out more about the work he does and the different readings he does. You can actually have a personal reading with Margaret yourself by going to his website at jerrygavin.com. And he's got his services up there. And there's actually a discount for 50% off the readings right now. And you can
after
see
you,
that.
After you buy the book, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that still in effect, Jerry, that they get the discount if they purchase the book?
It is actually. When you purchase the book, all you have to do is there is a spot on the book page where you enter that information and you are immediately eligible for a 50% discount. Actually, what happens is we send you the code in order to be able to do that, and you can go right on the appointment part of the website and schedule your own appointments. I do appointments in the daytime, the nighttime, weekend, mornings. We try to be as flexible as possible, so wherever in the world you are, it will work within your your time zone, and that 50% discount is definitely available.
Thank you, Jerry.
And for people who missed any of the links or anything like that, you can find his email address. I know Margaret was suggesting a number of you contact Jerry privately to ask for certain types of MP3s and exercises and stuff like that. And you can reach him at jerry@jerrygavin.com. But if you missed any part of his addresses or anything, you can find it up at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. His link is up there. And then from his site, he's got the discounts and he's got his contact information. So with that, Jerry, it's always great to have you on. I think we've interviewed you a couple times over the years, and it's always amazing. And this book is such a blessing for the planet. And I want to just say thank you for taking the time to bring it through and to make it available for everybody else.
And for sharing your divine practice, you know, with us. And I think one of the things that Mark and I like to try to bring forth is just the idea and the concept that, you know, we're all practicing the divine with every breath, whether we acknowledge it or not. And it's just such a beauty to see you following your spark.
Thank you. And kudos to you as well for the same thing, because it is, we're all in this together. We are all in this together. Mm-hmm. And anything we can share to help other people to feel more comfortable in that process, so they can come up and be able to try to reach their highest joy is just amazing. So thank you guys so much. And I would love to come back anytime you want me to, okay?
Sounds great. All right, Jerry.
Bye.
Thank you. All right, everybody, you've been listening to the Divine Practice Radio Show on Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on once a month for Divine Practice, usually on the third Thursday of the month. And you find out more about our shows and the other shows there on Spiritual Connections Radio by going to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.